Hi, all. These are generally conversations between adults after the children have left the table. The language can be spicy, and the subjects can get saucy. So if you're ready, this is the Southern Fork. Unscripted kitchen chats, and also studio chats, with some of the most interesting voices in the culinary South. I'm Stephanie Burt, a food and beverage writer based in Charleston, South Carolina, who travels with her fork to write for a variety of publications, from magazines you might have on your coffee table to the website you love to visit for your favorite recipes. And I'm inviting you to come behind the scenes with me to get to know the people who make this Southern culinary landscape so special. I'm always hungry for the next bite, thirsty for that next sip, and ready for the next conversation. Let's dig in. The Southern Fork is sponsored by Townsend Honda in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. This year, many of us are learning to cherish anew things closer to home, and that goes for any trips away from it as well. Enter the road trip, perfect for a weekend getaway, a camp out as the weather cools, or, if you're like me, dinner reservations. Townsend Honda began 46 years ago with the late Charles Townsend, who started selling cars in his hometown of Memphis in the early 50s. Later, he and his family moved to Alabama, and in 1972, he purchased the local Ford dealership, and in 74, the Honda dealership followed. Today, this company is still built on service and connection with its customers, and they want to remind you of the joys of a jaunt down the road. It's the annual Happy Honda Days sales event all this month, which means if you're looking to get one of the most reliable vehicle brands on the market, there are all kinds of deals, from 0.9% APR financing on most 2020 models to clearance prices on 2020 vehicles. It's one of the best times of year to purchase a car at Townsend Honda, and you can visit townsendhonda.com for current inventory, or if you're in West Alabama, stop in. Townsend Honda salutes local entrepreneurs, from restaurateurs to podcasters, and they welcome you to be part of a community that does the same. Hello, and welcome to a whole episode of just me talking with my mouth full from Southern Fork Studios, otherwise known as my walk-in closet. So me and all my clothes are here with you today to talk about some of the best of 2020 and also, of course, just a general look back. Now, this is something that's really common in media right now. Every year at the end of the year, almost all media outlets put out best of lists, from best albums to best books to all of those kinds of things. And then this year, we also have all of these year-end retrospectives trying to make sense of really one of the most tumultuous and heart-wrenching years. So I'm just going to be honest with you and say I'm too close to 2020 to really come up with these big nuggets of wisdom for you. And I'm not sure that that's why you come to the Southern Fork anyway. So I am going to touch on some of those themes, but pretty much stay in my very wide lane of food and culture and travel, and give you some ideas for the new year, hopefully, when we can begin to gather and travel a bit moving forward. The first thing I really thought about with this is how much what I would call American food culture has changed in the last year. You've heard me beat the drums about restaurants being in trouble, but beyond that, many of us, including me, really turned back to our home kitchens, and home cooking has seen a revival, and I think a lot of that is going to stick. There is a There's a really wonderful feeling of agency when you can cook for yourself. And I will tell you, the reason I write about restaurants is because I really like other people to cook for me. And I always cooked a little bit. And I cooked for myself, and you would see that on Instagram. But this year, I really began to develop my own style in the kitchen, mostly because I had to. And I found some real joy. And honestly, especially this fall, when things became just evident that there was not going to be a major magic end in sight, the grounding of cooking really helped me. I think about it as a craft project that I could eat. I didn't want to do jigsaw puzzles. I wanted to figure out, you know, how to cook a whole fish or something like that. But professionally, that kind of shift in American food caused a shift in this podcast. I started focusing a little more on home cooking. I focused on sustainability, and people like Ashley English, who are homesteaders. So sustainability has always been important to me, but personally, this year, I really began to understand how connected it is to racial justice and social justice and ecological justice. And Shorelette Ammons helped me do that. She was one of the episodes. I really think that that's important. But when it comes to sustainability, lots of times we think about sustainability as, you know, recycling or, you know, reducing your plastic or my favorite no waste kitchen. But sustainability is also your personal sustainability, being able to make a living wage, something that we started to realize in many cases, the restaurant industry does not pay a living wage. So that goes back to sustainability. I also think your quality of cookware and your quality of ingredients matter. I have one of a lot of things. So I have one large stock pot. I have two baking sheets. I don't have a lot of equipment, but what I have, I really feel I've curated for quality. And that adds to sustainability too. And so there's a lot of ways to really think about that. Personally, sustainability has gotten a bad rap because people are like, oh, there's just so much to do. I'm really overwhelmed. But starting somewhere, starting with one thing is really great. And if you just stay with doing that one thing, whether it is always bringing home your leftovers to eat or putting that last portion of that stew that you made in the freezer for later instead of just down the garbage disposal, that's a great place to begin. It doesn't have to be hard. Also, 2020 personally forced me to learn how to record remotely. This is something I never want to do as a default because I really enjoy being in the room and being present with my guests. I feel like conversation flows so much better when you can see facial expressions and you can hear pauses and all of that kind of thing. But this year did really help us all do things remotely. And so I'm really happy to go into 2021 with the knowledge on how to record remotely at a quality that I feel comfortable for. So I'm happy that I was pushed to do that all from this little walk-in closet. But let's get to the best of things a little bit. The best trip I took was the first trip of the year, and that was Los Angeles, obviously. But I have had a lot of questions about why I went to LA, and I wanted to explain that to you, my dear listeners, because I feel like it is important for me to understand my region thoroughly, and that region would be the Southern United States. But I also like to understand the context in which that region operates, and that needs to be in a larger culture. So as a cultural critic, which is essentially, I guess, what I am, and a journalist, I need to leave the South in order to understand what I'm looking at sometimes. I want you to have trust for me that when I say something is good, that it really is good. And so my knowledge base has to extend beyond just the South in order to do that. So Los Angeles creatively was a, no pun intended, shot in the arm. Everything was so different. The plants were different. I was able to stay in the Silver Lake neighborhood, which was awesome, and I could walk some, which no one in LA walks. I had some amazing meals, and of course, I found Southern expats, some people who were born in the South, cooking cuisine in Los Angeles. And then I also met Chris Tominaga, who is the executive chef at Manuela, and he made some of the best biscuits and fried chicken I've had in a long time. And I kept going, what? You didn't grow up in the South? So it's always surprising. Travel provides you a scope and a context, and in some ways, empathy and patience that you don't have otherwise, which I learned quickly when I wasn't able to travel. So that's why sometimes I leave the South, and I will always do that because I want to be an expert for you. If you listen to the show consistently, you understand that in 2020, I tried to focus on how people were creatively approaching really adverse situation for both restaurants and cooks and bars. And I feel like the best creative approach in adversity has to be Alex Lira and the group at Bar George with their Car George. They had the distinct dubious honor to try to open a new restaurant bar in the year 2020. And so they couldn't quite do that in the way that they wanted to. And even now, they are not operating as they envisioned they would. So during the summer, when they decided the cases were too high and they did not want to offer indoor dining, South Carolina was a little more of the wild, wild west and letting people kind of decide their own. That's a political thing. Alex Lira and the group at Bar George used Alex's Dodge Rampage. It's a 1978 Dodge Rampage, and filled up a cast iron tub in the back with ice and oysters, and then started driving around the Charleston area and hosting oyster shucking parties in people's driveway with appropriate social distancing. I think that was just an amazing creative idea, and now they have this whole side business that's like very funky catering, right? They did some kind of lobster donuts at certain times, and just a lot of fun, and added a bit of whimsy and a bit of joy into what was really, you know, a very dark, sad summer for a lot of us. When it comes to best bites, it's really difficult for me to choose a best one this year because, well, for the most part, I stayed in my own kitchen. I would venture out every so often, and I had takeout a few times, and later this year, I had some really good bites, and of course, I traveled to the Appalachian High Country, which I'll talk more about in a minute, but the best bites came from my own kitchen for the most part because I learned how to cook better. I started, cooking more consistently and learning more techniques. And I'm really excited to say that I know how to cook a whole fish at home now. And that is really wonderful for me because that's my favorite food. And I live in one of the most prized seafood regions in the country. But you're not here to hear about my blah, blah, blah in the kitchen. So if I have to choose a best of the best of the best bites, it has to be Cynthia Wong's Life Raft Treats. I was able to chat with Cynthia this year for an episode, and her Life Raft Treats are so fun and so delicious. I can't even choose one that I liked the best. I got a selection of treats in the summer to share. There was a Coke and peanuts ice cream bar that was so delicious. I flipped out at the Fruit Loops bar. It was like a Fruit Loops ice cream sandwich. But of course, she is breaking Instagram with her Thanksgiving TV tray platter and her Christmas canned ham and her not fried chicken. So she and her small team really create these adult novelty ice creams. So you remember when we were kids and, you know, we would get the Mickey Mouse ice cream and the ears would be, I think it was like chocolate covered chocolate ice cream, and it looked like a Mickey Mouse head, or you would get an Astro Pop. Well, when you grow up, you get sorbet or you get a scoop. And the novelty ice creams, you know, seem to be only for children. So Cynthia is one of the most creative minds and one of the coolest people that I know. But she has decided that adults deserve novelty ice creams too. And so she's started creating things that look like adult food, but are ice cream. And I just think that that makes me happy every time I think about it. So not only is her stuff finely crafted, but it is so delicious. So I cannot wait to have that Coke and peanuts popsicle again or ice cream bar again, because that means I will be sitting in the deep summer with sea breezes and hopefully a beach day under my belt. If I'm going to suggest a place for you to visit besides LA, which I would always suggest, this year, my other big trip was to the Appalachian High Country, and it was a road trip and something I was very happy to have the opportunity to do. It took a ton of coordination, a ton of masks and swabs up the nose, and many, many conversations about COVID protocol and reducing risk. But this is my job. And my unemployment ran out, and my editors are calling, and I have work to do for you. And so I had to figure out how to make it work. So I am so grateful to Townsend Automotive for lending a wonderful Honda CR-V for us to drive around the mountains and to get the chance to really visit a region that I had never quite visited. Of course, we think we know the Appalachian Mountains if you are from Western North Carolina, which Charlotte technically is, but there are so many peaks and valleys, pun intended. And the Appalachian High Country was so beautiful. Southwest Virginia is gorgeous. And I cannot personally wait to go back to the Boone Banner Elk area. I have so much more to explore there. I started to scratch the surface at some very interesting small producers, from sausage makers to hoop house farmers. And I would love to go back up there and just go out and visit some farms and learn more about the really interesting farming and just whole scene there when it comes to sustainability and ingredients. And Boone was just so much fun, and Banner Elk was gorgeous. All the food that we had was just outstanding and delicious. Overall, this year, I've really learned that the food and beverage folks are my folks. I already knew that. They already felt, in many ways, like extended family. But in a year where couldn't get the Restaurants Act passed. There was so much turmoil with restaurants opening and closing and restrictions. The food and beverage family really started to help each other. I focused on Pay It Forward Charleston and the Lee Initiative in Louisville, Kentucky, that is now nationwide. Food and beverage folks, they pay attention. And there is something about working in this high pressure environment, both front of house and back of house, that really helps you attack problems, not attack because that's an aggressive word, but it really helps you to see problems and to see ways to experiment with solutions. And I think the food and beverage community started to say, we have to help each other. And so many, many people have reached out. People just step up to help. But food and beverage is still really hurting. And culturally, we've already lost 10,000 restaurants. And we're going to lose a lot more. I'm very sad about that. And I think a lot of people in the business are. There are so many things to be sad about this year, from not being able to attend a family member's funeral to racial injustice to just so many other things that it seems just another thing to tack on. But for those of us that either are in the industry or are adjacent to it, and my job is to literally observe it and comment on it, it's been very much a heartbreaking year. But things like Car George and the Lee Initiative show me just the resilience and the creativity in this industry. And I am more happy than ever to continue writing and talking about it. I am so grateful for you. This podcast, Inside This Closet, has been an anchor for me too. In a year where suddenly the industry that I work in, media, doesn't know what to do. I mean, how do we work? And then the industry that I cover is reeling as well. You have been such a solace, and I'm so happy for you, listeners. And I mean personally, listeners. Some of you email me, DM me on Instagram, and clap your hands when you see I cook something good. Your support, your individual support, means a lot to me. And the numbers of this podcast have exploded this year. I have gained 30% more listeners. And so that is because of you supporting me, telling others about me, subscribing. And I hit episode 200, 5 years of doing this almost every week. And I was tired. I was exhausted. And through hiccups with sponsors to actually new sponsors stepping up, here we are. And I am excited and already planning for an awesome sixth season. So I'm excited to still be with you. I appreciate you so much. And this year, I got to know you a lot more individually because you were reaching out. That means a lot. Don't think that it doesn't. I read all comments all the time. So thank you very much for a wonderful season 5. I'm excited to travel more in season 6, if possible. And I'm excited to bring you more Southern culinary conversations. This is the last episode for the year, and then the new episode will begin the first Friday of February. So you only have a month to catch up on all those episodes in the archives that you haven't listened to before. But I would definitely ask you to do that, as well as a few other housekeeping things. If you go to thesouthernfork.com, you can do so much. you can actually sign up for my monthly newsletter. I send a whole newsletter a month. If you want to keep up with what I'm writing about and traveling and cooking, it's just if you need a little more stuff in your life, I guess. No pressure. Also, while you're there, you can check out past episodes. You can check out books from the show. There's a lot of other tabs there for you to learn a little bit more about me and the show. And then if you are not subscribed, if you will please, please do that so that when February, that first Friday, February 2021 comes around, Southern Fork will just be waiting right there on your podcast app, all ready for you to listen to, and you do not have to remember to look it up. So thank you for making my 2020 bearable. I appreciate you so much, and I will talk to you next time. Until then, take care of yourself, happy cooking, and wash those hands. Bye. You've been listening to The Southern Fork. I can't wait to bring you more culinary conversations, but in the meantime, I have one question. Are you gonna eat all that?